All right, Ezekiel, please, 28. Let me encourage you to, and we'll announce it again Sunday, concerning the bookman coming Sunday night. Brother Larry he's a great guy, and several years ago he just got a burden for Christians to have good stuff to read and good stuff to listen to and good Bibles. And so he buys all this stuff at discount rates, and he can then sell them at discount rates. And so he's been here several times in the past, and it's been a couple of years since he was here last, and he's going to be in Philadelphia on Sunday morning, and then on his way down back down south, he is going to stop here on Sunday night. So we're going to set up tables for him over in Baker Auditorium so that there's plenty of room. And if you need a Bible, this is a great opportunity for you to get a nice Bible. He'll have some good prices on Bibles, novels, study materials, you name it, he'll have it. And so I hope you'll take advantage of those opportunities. All right, Ezekiel 28, please. And let me read, let's just start in verse 1. All right, you got your Bibles tonight? All right, now look please at verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying. All right, now what we're about to hear is the word of the Lord. All right, so that's important now. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, that's the city of Tyre, which is in Lebanon, by the way. All right, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God. Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. I will stop reading right there. And I want to speak to you tonight on the Antichrist cast into the pit. All right, now I'm going to show you tonight from this chapter, from the next chapter, over all the way through chapter 32, time permitting, I'm going to show you the end result of the Antichrist. We all know that the Lord is coming back. We all know that that when the rapture takes place and the church is taken out of here, that we spend 7 years with the Lord in heaven. We will enjoy the judgment seat of Christ. We will endure the judgment seat of Christ, and we will enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we come back with the Lord. And we have learned over the last few weeks that when we come back as the mighty ones, as the army, as Isaiah said. And we do battle with the Lord. And so when he comes back, we come with him. And the Antichrist and all of his followers that he will have gathered in that during that tribulation period, they're going to be judged. And in these verses, in these chapters that are before us tonight, we're going to see the announcement through the prophet Isaiah or Ezekiel that God's judgment is going to be stern, it's going to be emphatic, it's going to be certain. And so we'll see the Antichrist cast into the pit. All right, let's pray together and then we'll start. Our Father, thank you so much for the word, and I pray you'll bless it tonight. Give us understanding of what we're about to hear. Lord, teach and instruct our hearts, and Lord, increase our faith as a result of hearing the word of God. And Father, help us to realize just how soon our Lord's return is. Lord, may we get excited about that, and may it motivate us to want to read your word, and Lord, to learn all we can and win folks to Christ, and be the kind of Christian, Lord, that we'll be able to rejoice when we hear that trumpet sound. So, Lord, bless us now tonight. Speak to hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, I want you to just listen for just a couple of minutes here, and then we'll get into it. You know, most of the time when we preach on the Antichrist, we do so from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Or we do so from the book of the Revelation, chapter 13 through 19. And I have preached many a sermon on the Antichrist through the years from 2 Thessalonians 2 and from Revelation 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. What I have attempted to do over the last couple of months is to show you that there is much said about the Antichrist in the Old Testament, and especially in these prophetic books. However, we saw Sunday night, for example, we saw that there is much about the Antichrist in the Psalms. And if we have time, I'm going to have you go back to Psalm 83 before we close tonight. Now, in Ezekiel 28 through 32, we find some of probably what are the best chapters in all the Bible to see what God has planned for this Antichrist. As is the case with several of the other prophets, what we've already learned, Ezekiel names names. Ezekiel does not hold anything back. He names names, just like Joel names names, and just like David did in Psalm 83, just like Isaiah names names. All right, there is no guesswork involved here. Specific nations are called by their specific names, and there is no doubt that who these people that will be under the judgment hand of God are going to be. There's no doubt about it. Ezekiel gives literal references and names the nations that suffer or will suffer great judgment because they will choose to follow the Antichrist in his assault against God's chosen people, Israel. Now, when you read these great prophecies, it is clear that these nations that we're going to read tonight, it's clear that these nations are with the Antichrist. They are on his side. They are in agreement with what he's doing. They are his footmen. They are his soldiers. They are his army. They are standing right by his side and fighting with all they have in order to try to destroy Israel. In Revelation 19, verse 20 and 21, we learn about the Antichrist being defeated when the Lord returns. And we learn that he will be cast into into the fires of hell. He and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. And all those who have taken his mark and all those who have stood with him in his evil attempt to destroy Israel are all going to be slain with the sword. Now, the Bible is very clear on that, Revelation 19, 20, and 21. But here in Ezekiel 28 to 32, we learn the identity of these followers. We can see when we read chapter 28 through chapter 32, we can learn the identity of all these people who are going to follow the Antichrist and soldier with him in the attempt to get rid of Israel. If you look at chapter 28 and verse 6, you will notice that God says his pride and his declaration to be God are what's going to get him in trouble. It's his pride and his declaration to be God. And if you'll remember, this is exactly how the Apostle Paul described the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 3 and 4. Paul calls him the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So that's Paul's assessment of what the Antichrist will do. And in verse 6, you see God telling Ezekiel, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. So there's no doubt that we are talking here about the end times, and there's no doubt that we are talking about the son of perdition. There's no doubt we're talking here about the Antichrist and what he intends to do and how the Lord is going to shut him down when the Lord returns. Now, God provides in these chapters a mix of nicknames for the Antichrist. We're going to see some of them tonight. We've already studied some of the other ones. For example, we saw in Isaiah how that Isaiah referred to the Antichrist as the Assyrian. The Assyrian. But here in Ezekiel, we have some other names for him. If you'll look at verse 2, you'll see that that God told Ezekiel that he was to speak against the prince of Tyre, the prince of Tyrus. This is an interesting name. Notice that he is, according to verse 8, going to be brought down to the sides of the pit. Look at verse 12. There's another mention here of a character in verse 12. Look at that. It says, go back to verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. All right, so in verse 2, you have the prince of Tyrus, but in verse 12, you have the king of Tyrus. Now, let me ask you, in the hierarchy of names, which is the highest, the king or the prince? The king is the highest, all right? Now, look at this. He said, thus saith the Lord, verse 12, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. And then he names all these different stones. At the end of the verse, it says, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that this is a description of the devil. This is God speaking of Satan, of Lucifer. He was created by God. Satan is not God. He only wants to be God, but he's not God. And so the king of Tyrus, the one who is running Tyrus, the one who runs the program, so to speak, the king is the devil. But now the prince of Tyrus is mentioned first here in the first part of this chapter in verse 2. And I think if you'll read down through this, you will see that the prince is the Antichrist and the king is Satan. It is the devil who is telling the Antichrist what to do. He's got the plan, all right? It is the Antichrist who will carry out that plan, as he is nothing more than the devil incarnate, or nothing less than the devil incarnate. He is the devil become man, all right? Remember, everything God has, Satan has a counter for it. God has a son who became flesh. His name was Jesus Christ. All right? The devil imitates that with his Antichrist. And he will be a man. And that is what God says of him in verse 2. He said, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. Well, we know that the Antichrist, during the last half of the tribulation, is going to set himself up as God. We know that. Paul told us that. John told us that. And so the Antichrist will say, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God. But God says, you're a man. You're not God. You're not running the show. The devil, the king, is running the show. Now, folks, that has all kinds of implications to it. One implication it has is this. Obama can say he's the king in America. He's not the king in America. He's the prince in America. This is not Christian America. This is heathen America. All right? The king in Washington, D.C. is not God. The king in Washington, D.C. is the devil. The devil is the god of this world. And so there's so many implications. We look at what's going on in our country today, and we shake our heads and we say, man, I just don't understand it. Well, if you will understand who's running the show, you'll understand it. If you will just understand who's running the show. And the devil is running wild. He's running crazy. And John said that the devil was busy. And the reason he is because he knows that he has but a short time. All right. So it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. And that's what we're seeing. So the prince does the bidding of the king. If you look, please, at verse 12, the king of Tyrus. When was the king of Tyre ever in the Garden of Eden? He wasn't. This is not talking about an earthly king. This is talking about the devil who runs the affairs of Tyrus, of the city of Tyre. And so the prince does the bidding of the king. The prince here is the Antichrist. The king is Lucifer. The prince is the devil incarnate, made a man in verse 2. And notice that God announces that the day is coming when this Antichrist will be cast down. If you will look, please, at verse 25 in this chapter. Verse 25. Look at verse 25. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. And they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about. Did you catch that? Look here. Watch me. all those that despise them round about. Remember? All right? And they shall know that I am the Lord their God. So, according to what we read here in verse 25, the context of chapter 28 includes Israel in the end times. God is discussing Israel at the second coming of Christ. And obviously, Israel has been regathered as a nation. I mean, obviously, that happened in 1948. That happened before I was born. Ha, ha, ha. Not all of you can say that, can you? But yeah, that happened in our lifetime, folks. And now they are dwelling safely therein. They have built houses. They have planted vineyards. Israel feeds Europe and Africa, half of Africa. But Israel is the garden of Europe. And so it's just the scriptures are being fulfilled, and we're seeing bits and pieces of the fulfillment. All right, look at chapter 31 for just a minute. And look at verse 15. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when he went down to the grave, I caused a mourning. I covered the deep for him, and I restrained the floods thereof, and the great waters were stayed. And I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all the trees of the field fainted for him. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall, when I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pit. And all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. They also went down into hell with him unto them that be slain with the sword. And they that were his arm that dwelt under his shadow in the midst of the heathen. So here is God telling us that the Antichrist is going to be defeated. He is going to be cast down into the pits of hell. For the sake of time, I'll not have you turn to it, but that parallels perfectly with Isaiah 14, verse 15, 16, and 17, where God, speaking to Satan, to the king of Tyre, says to him, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Satan, the man, the Antichrist, the devil, is brought down to the pit. And that is what God says is coming his way. This has not happened yet. It happens when the Lord returns at his second coming, when the Lord of glory steps out of heaven with judgment in his hand. Now, according to Ezekiel, not only will the Antichrist be cast into the pits of hell, but all those nations that stood by his side to fight against Israel and against the returning Christ, they also will perish in the judgment. And those specific nations are again listed in Ezekiel's prophecies. Now, go back to 28, and look at verse 18. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a, what's the next word? Oh my goodness. Did you get that? You say, well, isn't that a coincidence? Really? I'm telling you, folks, God knows what's going on. God knows what's going on. And all these nations on the crescent right here, every one of them, we've already studied it, they're all Islamic nations. And their book, the Quran, and Muhammad's book, the Hadith, they teach from beginning to end that they are to terrorize the world. Terror, 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 terror. And look at what God says. All they that know thee among the people shall be, verse 19, astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. God said that the Antichrist and his father, the devil, would be a terror. That they would be terrorists, if you will. But God says, I'm going to stop you. I will put an end to it. Now, Obama's not going to put an end to it. You don't change your name from Barry to Barack without having something in your heart that's sympathetic with Islam. Now, you can call him, tell him I said that. That's fine. I don't care. But you don't change your name to an Islamic name without there being something there. You're welcome. Okay, prove me wrong. That's all I'm saying. Prove me wrong. You can't do it. All right, now let's look at these. Ezekiel 28. Look, please, at verse 20. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against... What's the next one? Zidon. All right, now where was Tyrus? Lebanon. All right, now look at this one. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Zidon. You remember the Zidonians? Remember I preached you a sermon about 5 years ago on the Zidonians and how they were just this laid back, don't bother us, we're not going to bother you. You know, let's just all hold hands and sing kumbaya and be happy. You know, don't take a stand against anything. Don't stir the water. Don't rattle the cage. Let's just, you know, do you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and we'll just all be happy. That's the Zidonians. Where is Zidon? Zidon, Tyre, and Sidon. Sidon, S. All right? No, not Syria. Lebanon. Twin cities. One a little north, one a little south, side by side. So again, a reference to Lebanon. Here's the first nation, Tyre and Sidon. And this is the country today known as Lebanon. So when the Lord comes back to bring judgment upon the Antichrist and upon his army of followers, no more will Lebanon, Israel's neighbor to the north, be like painful briars or thorns in her side. Look, please. He said, verse 21, in the middle of the verse, he said, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall have executed judgments in her and shall be sanctified in her, for I will send into her pestilence and blood into her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And there shall be no more a pricking briar unto the house of Israel. No more will they sit on those mountaintops in Lebanon and take those little El Cheapo rockets that they bought off of China and try to aim them by hand and hope they hit something. But they have so many, hundreds of thousands of them, they just sit up there day in, day out, all the time. You don't hear about it, but they do it all the time. And they just fire those rockets. They don't know where they're going. They're like bottle rockets. But when they hit something, they can kill, and they can set a house on fire or a field on fire or a barn on fire. And they sit on those mountaintops and they just keep blasting them day after day, sending them over into Northern Galilee. And God says the day is coming when you'll no longer be like little painful briars or thorns in Israel's side. Those little rockets used to prick Israel almost on a daily basis will finally cease forever. Now, here's the scary thing. Did you see the news yesterday? Yesterday, it was reported that Syria just sold Lebanon, Hezbollah, just sold Lebanon a whole bunch of rockets that have the capability of reaching Tel Aviv and Jerusalem from Beirut. And these are guided missiles. These are not just missiles that you light them with a match and turn around and run and hope they go off, you know. No, these you aim them where you want them. And they have a range of almost 500 miles on them, which will cover from Dan to Beersheba. So it's not that's a serious matter. When you put missiles like this in the hands of people who want to destroy Israel, you got a problem. It's cranking up. It's cranking up. All right, chapter 29. I got to hurry. Chapter 29. Look at 2 and 3. Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against, what's the next word? All Egypt. All Egypt. All right, now, in the 29th chapter, God tells Ezekiel to prophesy against Pharaoh. Now, he called the Antichrist the Prince of Tyre in chapter 28. Now, in chapter 29, he calls him Pharaoh. He calls him Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And certainly, he will be the king of Egypt. He will no doubt be adored and loved and followed by the Egyptians who despise the Israelis. Remember that Isaiah said the Antichrist was called the Assyrian. Chapter 28 called him the Prince of Tyre. And now chapter 29, God calls him the Pharaoh of Egypt. Let me ask you folks again, what do these nations have in common with each other today? Their religion. They're all Islamic nations. It is their Islamic religion. Now, look at verse 8 and 9. What's going to happen when the Lord comes back and comes and does his puts his judgment upon Egypt? Look at verse 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring a sword upon thee, and cut off man and beast out of thee. And the land of Egypt shall be, what's the next word? Desolate and what? Waste, yes indeed. And they shall, well, listen, we were just there. Trust me, it's already desolate and waste. I don't know how to say it. It is. And they shall know that I am the Lord, because he has said, the river is mine. I have made it. So, judgment. I mean, judgment. Look at chapter 30 and verse 2. He said, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, how ye, woe worth the day, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day, and it shall be the time of the heathen. And the sword shall come upon Egypt, and great pain shall be in Ethiopia, that south of Egypt, when the slain shall fall in Egypt, and they shall take away her multitude, and her foundation shall be broken down. Ethiopia and Libya and Lydia and all the mingled people and Chub and the men of that land that is in league shall fall with them by the sword. So Ezekiel sees the nation of Egypt, and he sees that that Egypt is not alone here, that there will be a league, there will be a band of nations in Africa there that will side with the Antichrist. So the judgment is not just upon the Egyptians, but upon the Libyans and the Sudanese and the Algerians and the Tunisians and the Moroccans and Turkey and Saudi Arabia. All of these are involved in this announcement of judgment. These nations will be in a league with the Antichrist. and will be fighting alongside him in their efforts against the people of God. Look at chapter 32. The next judgment is cast upon, let's see, chapter 32, verse 22. 32:22. All right, look at it. It says, Asher is there and all her company. His graves are about him. All of them slain, fallen by the sword, whose graves are set in the sides of the pit. There it is again. Whose graves are set. God's going to dig their graves for them. That's what he's saying. Whose graves are set in the sides of the pit, and her company is round about her grave. All of them slain, fallen by the sword, which caused terror. Are you listening? Which caused terror in the land of the living. Wow. Who's he talking about? Asher. Who is this? Assyria. The Assyrian kingdom under Sennacherib was a huge place that involved Turkey and Syria and Iran and Iraq, as well as Egypt and Lebanon and Jordan and Saudi Arabia. And God says they're all going to be cast in the pit. Look at chapter 32. And verse 24, there is Elam. Elam. Elam encompasses the region of modern day Iran and even goes down into the northern parts of Afghanistan. And notice in verse 24, again, it says down at the bottom, it says, fallen by the sword, which are gone down uncircumcised into the nether parts of the earth, which caused their what? Terror to in the land of the living. Yet have they borne their shame with them that go down into the pit. So again, God says, judgment is coming. And it's coming upon those of you who cause terror in the land of the living. Those of you that terrorize my people. Judgment is coming. And of course, that's what Israel lives in fear of every single day, is terror from their neighbors. Look at chapter 32, verse 26. There is Meshach, Tubal, and all her multitude. Meshach and Tubal, these are the Turkish nations and the Turkic nations. Turkey, of course, you know where that is. The Turkic nations are all the stand boys, all right? All the stand boys. They used to be a part of the Soviet Union. That's Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan and Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan and Afghanistan, all right? So they're mentioned in the judgment. Chapter 32, verse 29. There is Edom. Edom is Jordan and Saudi Arabia. Edom and all her princes, it says. All her princes. Edom is southern Jordan and includes the nation of what is today Saudi Arabia. Chapter 32 and verse 30. We have the princes of the north. All of them and all the Zidonians which are gone down with the slain. So here is Turkey now mentioned and Lebanon mentioned again. All the princes of the north, all of them. Did you get that? All of them. And the Zidonians, all of these nations are one day going to be cast into the pit. Now, hold your place here and go back to Psalm 83. And then I'll see if I can wrap this up. It's already 10 after. Good grief. I can't believe that it goes so fast. Look at Psalm 83. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. And then in verse 6 to 9, he mentions the confederacy. And it is the same group of nations as what is found in Ezekiel 28 to 32. The exact same bunch. Now, folks, we looked at this psalm last Sunday night. And I pointed out to you that David saw the Lord Jesus rising up off his throne and coming to judge the nations. Why is he doing that? Because in verse 4, they said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And folks, that has been the cry from all the nations around Israel since 1948. Every neighbor of Israel has said that they want to drive the Jews into the sea and give the land to the Palestinians. And one of these Arab dictators, one of these despots, every week, one of them will stand up and will say publicly that they want to drive the Jews into the sea. And yet, every effort has been thus far thwarted by Israel. Every one. In odds that are just incalculable. Is that a word? I just made it one if it's not. Israel has triumphed. Every time. Every time. The Syrian president, Assad, not the one that's there now, that's the one I'm going to quote, is his father. He's dead now. He's a believer now. But the Syrian president, Assad, said, the Arabs are willing, he said this in 1968, when by all accounts, Israel should have been driven into the sea. By all accounts. But they weren't. The Arabs were last seen running across the Jordan River, throwing their weapons as they ran. And Assad stood and said, the Arabs are willing to lose several wars to come with Israel. All we have to do is defeat them once. And yet God has promised Israel in Amos 9:15, the last verse in the book of Amos, God said, and I will plant them upon the land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord God. Now, folks, listen. Here's the wrap. The world stage is set like at no other time in human history. Israel is back in the land and have been since 1948. Before 1948, they were scattered around the world. That's what Ezekiel was talking about, gathering them together, gathering the scattered together. And from 1948, 2,500 years, Israel has been dispersed from that land. The Babylonians came and took their land away. They have not had it again until 1948. Now they've got it. Now they've got it. Listen carefully. Before 1948, all of these prophecies made no sense. You think I'm kidding? You go back and read Matthew Henry. You go back and read some of the old time expositors. And you talk about looking for words because they didn't understand what it meant. And when 1948, when Israel all of a sudden became a nation again, these prophecies took on new meaning. The Jews were scattered all over the world. But in 1948, the Valley of Dry Bones, Ezekiel 37, has been restored and has taken shape into a body of living and breathing people. And today, millions of Jews have immigrated back to their homeland. Now listen carefully. Today, Israel is surrounded on all sides by nations that can be found by name in book after book, spoken of directly and emphatically by prophet after prophet. They all have one thing in common that binds them together. And that one thing is that they're all Islamic nations who believe in a system that has been inspired by Satan himself, and they all believe that their God has given them a mandate to destroy Jews and Christians. Every one of these nations is looking for Ayman Mahdi to come. They pray for it daily. They look for it daily. They want the Mahdi to come to lead them to dominate the world so that all the world will submit to Allah. One of those nations mentioned in the scriptures is just a few months away from having the ability to put a nuclear warhead on a missile and send it into Israel. Now, I can promise you that Israel is not going to wait. They will wait until the last minute, but I will guarantee you they're not going to let that nutcase over there get nuclear capability. They'll wait to the last minute, but they're not going to let him get nuclear capability. And if we don't stop them, Israel's going to. Now you mark that down. When Israel sends its F-16s into Iran and levels those nuclear reactors, the Islamic nations will unite like never before, and there is going to be war like you have not seen in the Middle East. All of them taking aim at God's chosen people. So I'm saying the stage is set. We have a country today that is collapsing in every conceivable area, financially, morally, spiritually, governmentally. We have a leader who is apologizing for America. We have a leader who is apologizing to the world, apologizing to murderers and thugs and dictators. We feed the world, we protect the world, we clothe the world, we provide medicine for the world, we provide a safe haven for those that want a better life, and our president's going over and apologizing for us. We're the only nation in the world that dares to stand up for democracy, and he bows to thugs and dictators, but then refuses to have his picture taken or to be seen in public with the president of God's chosen people. I'm telling you, the stage is set. All right, let me tell you this and I'll close. In July of 2006, a couple of years ago, during the height of the Intifada, when Hezbollah and Israel were going at it, Israel went up into Lebanon. You remember that? In Ireland, there was a guy on a backhoe digging a ditch. And while he was digging, he turned over, he pulled up his backhoe, and a chest fell out, unhurt. And he thought, well, what in the world is that? It was in a, like a marsh, in a bog. And he said, what in the world is that? So he got off his backhoe, waded over to it, got it, took it up, put it in his vehicle. And he thought, I better call somebody. So he called somebody. And some archaeologists came out and looked at what he found. It turned out that he had uncovered an ancient 20-page portion of the Psalms that was around, dated, it's 1,200 some years old, dated around 800 AD. The Irish government said This is the equivalent of Israel finding the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so they took the chest and they very carefully opened it up. And when they opened it up, it was perfect inside. Would you like to know where the psalm was opened to? Psalm 83. That is a factual true story. It was opened to Psalm 83. And they found it when Hezbollah, when Tyre, when Sidon was a prickly briar to the people of God. Folks, warning after warning after warning has been shot over the bow. But the Antichrist has blinded, or the devil has blinded this world. Now the world can't see it, but God's people ought to be able to read the Bible and see it. We are living on borrowed time. Even so come, Lord Jesus.